जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय
Thank you.
ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜನ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ಸಾನಂದನ ತಿರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ತಿರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ತಿರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಗೋಪಾಲ್ 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 ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಶ್ರೀಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ 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 ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8. We are beginning a new chapter. The chapter is entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Seva. Text 1.
Suta uvacha Athate samparetanam Athate samparetanam स्वानामुदकमिच्छताम् स्वानामुदकमिच्छताम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः सुत उवाच अथ ते सम्परेतानाम् स्वानामुदकमिच्छताम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः संपरेतानां स्वानां उदकमिच्छतां दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायां पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः सुत उवाच असत्ते संपरेतानां उदकमिच्छताम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः सुत उवाच अथ ते सम्परेतानाम् उदकमिच्छताम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः सुत उवाच अथ ते सम्परेतानाम् स्वानाम् उदकमिच्छताम् दातुं सकृष्णगङ्गायाम् पुरस्कृत्य ययौ स्त्रियः
माताजी
సుత ఉవాచ అథతే సంపరేతానాం స్వానాముదకమిచ్చతాం దాతుం సకృష్ణ గంగాయాం పురస్కృత్య యయౌ స్త్రియః.
వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్, సుత ఉవాచ, సుత సెడ్, అతః దస్ తే ద ద పాండవాస్ సంపరితానాం ఆఫ్ ద డెడ్ స్వానాం ఆఫ్ ద రిలేటివ్స్ ఉదకం వాటర్ ఇచ్చతాం విల్లింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ దాతుం టు డెలివర్ సకృష్ణ అలాంగ్ విత్ సకృష్ణ అలాంగ్ విత్ ద్రౌపది గంగాయాం ఆన్ ద గ్యాంజెస్ పురస్కృత్య పుటింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఫ్రంట్ యయౌ వెంట్ స్త్రియః ద ఉమెన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్, సుత గోస్వామి సెడ్ దేర్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద పాండవాస్ డిజైరింగ్ టు డెలివర్ వాటర్ to the dead relatives who had desired it went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. Purport. To date, it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a potful of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. The Pandavas also followed these rules more than 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being a cousin of the Pandavas, was also amongst the family members. Om Ajnanat Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాథా సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర్ భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to welcome all devotees for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I would seek your blessings for speaking on this very exalted subject matter for my own purification as well as for your pleasure. So, today we are beginning chapter 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And it is like one of the most important chapters. Of course, everything, every word, every syllable spoken in Bhagavatam is important. But at the same time, this chapter, which is entitled Kunti Maharani's Prayers, Prayers of Kunti Maharani, Queen Kunti and Parikshit Save, this is like one of the most quoted chapters by Srila Prabhupada and many devotees, because it contains the most exalted prayers of Kunti Devi. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that there are many, many prayers offered by various devotees, exalted devotees. And in entire Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find prayers by Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. We have Gajendra's prayers. There are prayers by the Vedic Vedas personified, and so many prayers. But here we can see that Shukadev Goswami is giving the first place for amongst all the prayers, and all these prayers, like by even by gopis, they are considered the most exalted devotees of Lord Krishna. But here we see that Kunti Maharani's prayers are given the first presentation. They are the first prayers which are presented over here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, although the prayers will actually, the sequence will begin little later after a few verses. But here, now we see that as the narration is going on, like yesterday also we heard from Radhesh Lal Prabhu about a very, very important topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is about forgiveness. Also, there are many such topics, and today's topic which we can see that how the Pandavas, desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it and went to the Ganges along with Draupadi and other ladies, and they were walking in front, and Krishna also accompanies them. So we see that the storyline, how Dronacharya's son Ashwatthama, he was punished, and then like Arjuna has taken the lead and representing Pandavas and Krishna, that how justice has to be done to a Brahma Bandhu, a person although born in Brahmana family but who did not have the qualifications, even in such a case, how he has to be dealt with when he performs a very atrocious crime. That is explained. And then after Ashwatthama leaves, then immediately, now that the fear of any further attack is not there, Mahabharata war is already over. So then the Pandavas are now attending to the next most important work which is there after the war, to address the soldiers who have died and relatives who have died. So although the war was won by the Pandavas, but still, it was not that they were all very rejoicing that, okay, we have won the war. The mood is not of rejoicement, because they are very sad, because there was a very great cost which they had to pay for this very war. The cost was very high. War, in fact, at any time, it is very costly, not only from monetary point of view, but even from the point of view of the loss of life and the destruction of property and all, whatever is caused by war. But still, even after so many years, so many decades, so many centuries, even now, today we see that amongst the most of the economies of the world, most of the countries, we see that the defense expenditure is like one of the biggest expenditure in their budget, annual budget. It's unfortunate. At the same time, we see that wars have to be fought for different purposes or with different intentions. So a war may be fought just for the purpose of
for the purpose of expressing one's or showing one's superiority over others, or just with the intention of annexing somebody else's property to establish somebody's autocracy. Or a war may be fought for dharma, to establish the principles of dharma, like we see here. The Pandavas did not want to engage in war just to establish their power, but because there was a dharma which was being done by the Kauravas. So, to establish dharma, this war was fought. That is the reason why now, after the war, now that war is over, the Krishna himself is taking all the Pandavas and they are going to the Ganges to offer oblations to the dead. And not only death and the soldiers who have given up their life, not only from the side of the Pandavas, but also from the side of the Kauravas. So, because it was, they were all their family members, their elders, their seniors, their teachers. You know. So, and later on, after this, then Krishna also then takes the Pandavas along with Draupadi to meet with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, because even they had lost their 100 children, 100 sons. So this Putra Shoka is actually very, very difficult means to handle and to, you know, how to console somebody who, for whom their children have died in front of them, is actually very, very difficult to pass over this. So even like some time back, means there was one very nice devotee from Belgaum, and he and his family members, wife and his brother and all, they had come over here because their son was ailing with cancer, just studying in his college second year, and although we tried to help them, but then eventually he had to give up his life. And within a span of, it was not only one shock, but within a span of 1 year, they had actually lost two of their sons. Once earlier passed away because of an accident, and this son because of cancer, and now they have no children. So, to console a person, you won't have words, because whatever we can speak, it's very difficult for a father and especially for a mother to, like we see how, that is precisely the reason why Draupadi was ready to forgive Ashwatthama. So, Antishti Samskar, that it has to be performed within a very short period of time, means it is expressed that when the after the war, the Pandavas are doing this. So, it is because the Atma is attached to the body, because it has been living in that body for such a long time, so many years, so many decades. And if the body is, because he is attached to the body, if the body is kept like that, it tries to hover around that, trying to enter into that body, the Atma. And it is explained in the Shastras that it is important that as soon as a person dies, then as early as possible, the body has to be cremated. So that there is no chance for it to get back. And then, once the body is taken for cremation, then even after that, the Preta, now the body is burnt and then it cannot enter. So then again it comes back to the family, it hovers around, means seeing that, okay, how the relatives, his own loved ones are mourning, and he sees all of them. So for the next few days, means as it is given that the Preta, that is the subtle body, Atma, is offered oblations. in the form of pinda and water and tilla like that. Means, of course, depending on various traditions it is done. Like I came to know means also, although these have been being performed for so many centuries now, but means I came to know very in detail little bit when my father passed away and we were doing those family the rituals and rites. And then I could understand the significance of all these things. Otherwise, we would have just known means in our family, elders, when grandfather or grandparents, when they pass away. Fathers, they take care of this and children are not allowed to means become so. Because this is a very, very grave ritual. So, children are not so much involved in that. But when my father passed away, that time we performed all these rituals. And like every day it is offered and for 9 days. So, and then on the 10th day, there is, so the prayer, the pujari, he explained, we had done this in Kashi. And the pujari was explaining how from the first day, second day, the preta is, that body is also increasing, it's developing. And after the 9th day, now it has become very big and it's very hungry. So on the 10th day, then a big feast is cooked and offered. And then, of course, the thing is that because the preta should not be attached to this family anymore, it should take go forward in its onward journey. So more, the items are cooked, half cooked, and without salt. So they make a lot of these feast and means feast items are prepared, but then purposefully it is done without salt and it is half cooked. So that the preta understands that, oh, now I am no more invited in this place. I have to go ahead. And then, of course, after that 10th day and then the 11th, then after that, this they go to the Ganga or to any other sacred river and then take bath. And then, of course, the teet or whatever, the inauspicious days are over. And then the 11th day, then the formal Shraddha is also performed. The Brahmana, two Brahmanas are invited and they are offered Vishnu Prasad and whatever dana is done like that. And then on the 13th day, there is this event which is called Subhashikvaram, means where then auspicious things again begin. So that by visiting temple and then performing Navagraha home or any auspicious homas and all, the family. So, in that way, so this entire tradition, of course, the details may vary depending on whichever Vedas you follow. And like I was speaking to our Rohini Kumar Prabhu, who is our temple's priest, and they have come up with an Antyeshti book so that with full details. So, how we should perform Antyeshti for our elders. So, this, the Vaishnava Sanatan Dharma, it prescribes that these. It is actually an expression of gratitude towards our elders, our forefathers, our fathers and forefathers. And because as an individual, we are living and we are actually indebted to our pitris, our forefathers, our and it's not only just the family, but it's also the others who are connected, who are take care of, like it was explained that even we have to take care of the nurses who are like in the traditional family, there were nurses who are connected to each family and like that. And also even other living beings who are as a part of family. So this Vedic tradition is actually all encompassing. Means how Krishna has created a system whereby everybody's needs and are taken care of. And a system is made whereby there is this very most important principle of gratitude towards not only our forefathers, the devas and pitris. And now here we see that the Pandavas, they were the only survivors after this ghastly war. And so they have taken it upon themselves to perform these rituals for all the people who have died from the Pandava side as well as the Kauravas. And also they ensure that, similarly we can see that in Vedic tradition, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many examples where although the person who has died, he may have committed very heinous crimes or atrocities, he may be an asura, but still the last rites, the rites for the last rites are never denied. So we see the example of how Lord Ramchandra, after the war with Ravana, once Ravana was killed, then he asks Vibhishan that you should perform the final rites for your brother, elder brother. And also we see that when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimhadev, then after that Narasimhadev tells Prahlada that you should offer do the final rites for Hiranyakashipu, like that. So there was an interesting article which had come up a few years back, that there was a leading actress, and her grandmother, she was a Christian, follower of the Christian tradition, and but she had married a Hindu, and when this lady, she actually died at that point of time, the church in Kerala, they had actually denied her the burial rites, saying that because she had married with a Hindu, now she does not deserve to be given the burial rites as per the Christian tradition. So there may be some fanatics, followers of Christianity, who may feel that, okay, if somebody is not a follower of Jesus, or who is not a devotee of Jesus, and he will go to hell because he is not he does not accept Jesus as the God. And on the other hand, we see that Prahlad Maharaj, means even though he was treated so badly by his father, Hiranyakashipu, and so much of atrocities he had done, he was tried to be murdered in so many ways, so many different ways, yet Narasimhadev says that no, you should offer the proper final rites to your father. And when Prahlad was asked that, I want to give you some benediction by Narasimhadev, at that time Prahlad Maharaj actually prays that, okay, you should deliver my father so that he does not have to continue in this cycle of birth and death. So we can see that in different traditions, means there could be, of course, even there is the example of when Haridas Thakur, when he died, it seemed like that he has already died because of the atrocities. So both the, at that point of time in Navadvip, both the Muslims, they were saying that, okay, you should not bury him as per Muslim tradition because he has given up Islam and he is chanting the names of Hindu God. And on the other hand, the Hindu, the so-called Hindu priests at that time, they were saying that no, you cannot give him, you should not cremate his body because he is not born a Hindu. So these type of fanatics, they don't actually understand what is the principle that Lord is enunciating over here. And and ultimately his body was actually thrown in the Ganges. And then of course Haridas Thakur revived again and he came back. And then he gained the respect and love of both the Muslims and the Hindus at that time, because people realized that, oh, actually this person is not ordinary. He is actually a person who has been blessed by the Lord. So, especially in Sanatana Dharma, our text, it says that the last rites, they are not determined by the actions of the person. Although a person may perform many immoral activities, sinful activities, but still the need to perform the cremation as per the Shastra or the Dharma is necessary so that the further journey of the soul can take place in a proper manner, so that he gets a higher destination. So that is the importance. It is not just a practice in itself, but how it enables the onward journey of the soul. So And if the relatives or the people, they do not give the dead body the proper rites, then it's actually considered like as a negative karma for the relative. And denial of final rites for a deceased relative is considered like an abdication of one's primordial duties. So it's very important. And that's why we see that in recent times, we would have seen that many times on the border of India-Pakistan, because of the exchange of fire, then many soldiers are killed on either side. And sometimes it so happens that because the borderline is not very clear, sometimes soldiers may pass over to the other side. And then if they are caught and killed, so it is very important, like I had read earlier, that during the Siachen war, that time, so many soldiers were from the Pakistani side were killed. But the army of Pakistan did not come to claim their soldiers. But as per the laws of war, the Indian army, they give the proper cremation for that burial based on the religion of the soldier. So, and that is the respect for human life which has to be given. In fact, like even in Govardhan Eco Village, like I have seen, witnessed myself, that whenever even the cows, our Gomata, when they give up their lives, then even they are, their final rites are conducted in a very respectful way. That is the importance of taking care of mother cow also. So, we can see that even Lord Ramchandra, he tells Vibhishan that you should perform the last rites for your brother, because although he was an Rakshasa and he had done so many sinful deeds. So, and here we see that even Yudhishthir Maharaj, following the same very principle, he is arranging for the last rites of without any ill feeling against the Kauravas. And he provides Dhritarashtra also with all the facilities and resources so that the last rites can be performed for all his dead sons. And interestingly, that author also mentions that there is another example where Shahjahan's son, Aurangzeb, he had not only imprisoned his father, but he had denied him all that he desired in his last days. So here we can see the cruelty of a person, that he did not allow. He imprisoned his father and he denied him all the whatever he wanted. And in fact, he denied him even the water from Yamuna. Because Shahjahan was very fond of Yamuna water. But Aurangzeb did not provide him. So at that point of time, Shahjahan makes this comment to Aurangzeb. He says that, my dear son, you don't even provide water for your living father, and see the Hindus, they are even giving water to the dead ancestors. You know? So that is the difference between the dharma, which is based on Sanatan principles, and on the other hand, we can see that when there are fanatic followers of such religion, then at that point of time, then their cruelty actually comes forward much more. So, and even when Shivaji Maharaj, when he killed the barbarian, meaning the Afzal Khan, and after killing him, his body was not just like that thrown away, but he was given the proper burial based on Islamic traditions. And so, and this actually clearly reveals that the depth of the samskaras which was followed by Shivaji Maharaj. And so, we can see that as per actually Sanatan Dharma, it gives so much of importance how we should take care of the weaker sections of society. Means, in fact, like earlier, Srila Prabhupada also in his purport, he says that the five people should be protected. like it's given in Vedic principles. Like the advancement of any society can be judged by how these five weaker sections of society are actually taken care of. And it begins with children, women, old people, brahmanas and the cows. So, if we see that, what is the reason that children need to be protected? Because actually children, they are our future. So, and the protection, sometimes we may think that, okay, children need to be taken care of once they are there. But actually, Sanatana Dharma is so, it explains that it is so deep that the protection for the soul which is going to come is taken, the protection begins from much before. Like, even before the conception, means at the time when we do the Garbhadhan Samskara. So, the Samskara is done so as to attract the proper soul to the womb. So, from there, the protection for the future begins. And then, of course, the proper education and care of the children are prescribed. And then it continues throughout the life. And then eventually when the person passes away, when he dies, then even after his death, then how the Shastras they prescribe that the ongoing journey of the soul has to be taken care of. And for that, they prescribe these various rituals and of Shraddha, Tarpana, and how oblations have to be offered, and it's explained, means our like Shraddha, our Roni Kumar Prabhu was mentioning how it is to be done, like first 10 days, 13 days it is done, then every month for 1 year it is done, so that every Amavasya Tarpana is done, and then yearly rituals are there, and then of course this is done for one's father and mother. And later on, means, and every year during the Pitra Paksha. So, Pitra Paksha, during that, the Shraddha is done for our Pitris, our ancestors or forefathers. And so, by doing that, we actually try to, of course, it's very difficult to repay the debt, what we have received, because we are all following that same lineage. So, to be able to repay our debt to our ancestors, leave alone to Lord Sri Krishna, who is the source of all, it's very difficult. But still, we try to do it by following these rituals which are prescribed in the Vedic scriptures. So, we can see, but in modern society, most of the materialists, they are finding it difficult even to take care of people when they are present. You may say that, okay, you are suggesting of taking care of the needs of people when they have passed away. What about when they are living? Surely, our elders, our forefathers, they need to be taken very good care of when they are alive. And but materialists may say that, okay, you need to take only good care when they are here. And or maybe some may say that, okay, better we send them to some old age home where they are taken nice care of, like that. So, Niti Shataka, like, it explains that there are basically four types of people. One, first category or the is that people who are interested only for the benefit of others, you know, who are always considering how to do good to others, you know, who are interested only in paropakar. And so, there we can see that these are basically all our saints, our sadhus, who are only not concerned about their own selfish interest, but for the benefit of others, they are ready to do so much of sacrifice. And they are ready to take hardship upon themselves. Like we see in the life of Prabhupada, how at the very fag end of his life, when he was 70 years old, he was ready to take up so much of trouble to go to the West and to preach the principles of Krishna consciousness just for the benefit of others. So this is the first class of people. On the other hand, there are others who are ready to do good for others, ready to do paropkar, but only to the extent that does not cause themselves any trouble. To that extent, they are ready to go. So there is both paratharth, but at the same time, there is some swarth also, that okay, I should not be inconvenienced. If I am having facility, I am ready to do. So that is the second category. And third is that a person is very only swarthy. And he is never ready to help others. And but for his own comfort, for his own benefit, for his own interest, he is ready to do some harm to others also. He is only concerned about himself. So that such a person is explained as Swarathi. And fourth is the last category of people where they, without any reason, rhyme or reason, they are ready to cause trouble to others. They are ready to put others into difficulty. So they have neither Swarth nor Pararth. So, in Sanatan Dharma, we can see that people are actually taken care of even before their birth and after their death also. And this is because the principles of gratitude are very given so much of importance. So, as is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have our debts to be paid for to so many different categories of people, like Devarishir Bhutaptanam Pitranam, Na Kinkaro Nayam Ranicha Rajan, Sarvatmana Yas Sharanam Saranyam, Gato Mukundam Parihirti Kritim. So, there are so many debts for so many categories, Devarishi. So, it is explained that, okay, if we actually surrender to Lord Krishna, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away, since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service, he has no need to serve such persons separately. So, this is an important principle which many times we quote, that once we have taken shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we need not have to fulfill, because there are so many, how many koti devatas? Huh? 32. Yeah, na? 33 koti. And then so many other categories of people. How do we fulfill our indebt? How do we repay the debt to them? So it's better to pour water in the root of the tree. But here one important thing is that Sarvatmana ya Saranam Saranyam. So if one has actually fully and completely taken shelter of the Supreme Lord Mukunda, then he need not have to do all this. Like we can, it's not very difficult to understand this principle, because like if you have a membership in any library, so one may be that you may have to pay monthly your fees for going to over there and taking the facilities, or you may pay annual fee. So then you don't have to pay monthly fees. Or the third may be that, okay, you become a life member of that. So then for entire life you can utilize the facilities. You don't have to pay any fees over there. So similarly, we can see somebody who has completely taken shelter of the Lord. But here in this example, we can see that how the Pandavas, it's not that they are lacking in their surrender to Lord Krishna. They are the most exalted devotees of Krishna, and Krishna himself is along with them. But here, they are performing the rites, they are performing the prescribed duties, they are offering the oblations to his deity, because they want to set an example for the others. And in scriptures, it's mentioned, like in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, Krishna says that, okay, those who have actually self-satisfied, they don't have any duty to perform, or like a person who's fully self-realized, he does not have to perform. Like that he says. But then, eventually he says, yad yad acharati shreshtas tattad eve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, setting an example for the entire mankind, Pandavas are performing these rituals, even though they are actually the greatest of devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. And and Krishna is participating in this activity and agreeing to this. And also, even in Krishna's own life, if you see, like in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, it is described that Lord Krishna himself, he in Dwarka, his how his daily routine was is described. He says every day he would get up early in the morning, worship the rising sun and that various demigods, sages, forefathers, and who are, although they were all actually in a way expansions of the Supreme Lord, yet and in this way he would offer charity to the Brahmanas. He would offer cows as in donation, provide, and like that. It's very described in very much detail. So it is very important that we follow these principles. In fact, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna explains that one of the reasons why he does not want to fight this war is that he says by killing all the so many soldiers, almost the leaders of their family, one may say that, oh, I am not a great king like Janak Maharaj, or I am not a great king like Pandavas. So how is my example going to set a precedent for others? But each and every one of us has their own circle of influence in our own family member life, or amongst our juniors, or our whoever are following or looking up to us. So we should set an example for them. So Arjuna says, kulakshaya pranashyanti kula dharma sanatana dharme nashte kulam krishnam adharmo bhivavatya uta. With the destruction of a dynasty, the entire family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. So to avoid that, he says that I should not engage in this ghastly war. And then eventually, of course, the war takes place, and now he is again ready to follow these principles as which are inscribed in the Shastras. So, if somebody does not perform all these things, then what happens? What is the result of not following these principles? That is that one actually then degrades in his life. Means he gets birth in a family of chandalas, or maybe many a times we see people get married but they don't have children. They are not able to conceive. So, this is also one of the reasons. Like, which are given in the Shastras, that if you do not perform Shraddha or the offer oblations, pindar to your forefathers, then you are you attract Pitra Dosh, like many of the astrologers will tell. So, and then you have to perform atonement for that and offer pindar and all. Or sometimes, many a times, then children, such children are born with bodily defects or mental defects and all. So in today's life, we can see, in especially nowadays, that there are so many people who are seeing this, that children, many people, many couples are going childless. Like recently some news headline was that in India now the birth rate has come below the level of maintenance, like means to maintain the same population or this. So, this is happening, like, not only in India, but even all over the world, we can see that. And, like, some time back, there was a meeting organized by the Bhaktivedanta Hospital for on assisted conceiving of like children, like IVF and surrogacy and all, like the so many things. And they had invited some of our brahmacharis to actually explain what is the shastric principles behind, perspective behind this, that to what extent we should do this. And today we see that in medical progress, this is like has taken so much of importance, and it's actually big business how to assist people, like assist couples to get to be able to conceive a child or to have a child. And so, although we may try to find out immediate solutions, okay, you are not able to conceive because or certain reasons, and this and that, oh, we will provide some alternative solution. But these are solutions which are only symptomatic. But if we see the root cause behind this, it is that maybe 30, 40 years, 50 years back, our people, they did not face these problems, or even the medical diseases like cancer or AIDS and all. This was not so much prevalent. So we have to see, actually we have to look in deeper and find out that what is the reason that why such abnormalities are happening. So, and if we do not perform the religious rites or scripture as per the scriptures, then we have to face the consequences. Just like, it's not so difficult to understand. Like, if somebody, you have a house, and if you do not pay the electric bills, then naturally you can expect that after a couple of months, there won't be any more light in your home. The authorities will come. Like, if you don't pay your telephone bill, the telephone, if you are mobile, it's easier to relate. If you don't pay your recharge, then your phone is not going to, you will not be able to make or receive calls. So, it should, even amongst devotees, like, sometimes we feel, okay, is there a necessity to do the formal ritual of, if I, as a oblation to my forefathers, if I just do some poor feeding, isn't that enough? Or if I go to some anathalay and I feed, of course, or maybe even sponsor some prasad at, in the temple or for the brahmacharis, isn't that good enough for fulfilling this need? So this is very good, means to take care of those underprivileged people is very important. But at the same time, it is important to follow the formal process which has been prescribed. You know? So, in case, like, if you want to transfer some money to your friend or somebody, then you have to go to the bank, you have to fill in the RTGS form and all, and then once you submit, then the transfer will take place. But if you meet the banker somewhere on the road and you hand over him the money and say that, okay, you can do. So then most probably it may not happen. Like some time back, even when this COVID problem we were facing, and then we were doing a lot of providing food for the those people who are not serving in the hospitals, in the BMC and all. So at that time, and for the needy, so at that time we had made a video and circulated, and then we had got a call from UK, from London, and there was an institution, again, they wanted to participate in this activity. So we shared with them our bank account details and all, and then told them this is the process. So the lady over there, she said that, okay, there are two things. Means I want to personally participate, and also the institution which I am representing, they also want to do. So we will do. So I said, okay, fine. But for both, it is the same. The bank account details are the same. So she immediately transferred, and we actually received the money from her. But as far as the institution is concerned, they had an account with a nationalized bank in Indian bank. But then the person who was supposed to do this, he was actually retired from senior post from that bank. So that person actually, he just made a small note and sent to the bank over there in his bank in London. And they were supposed to transfer. And then we were following up here, but the money never came. So 2-3 times it happened like this. They were saying, okay, we have already sent, you follow up with your bank. But I don't have any details. You are not giving me any, what are the document number, SWIFT number is there. You please share with us. They are not sharing. They know you follow up with your bank. And now, because it was a donor and we were the beneficiary, so I had to be polite with them. But then, in spite of following up with so many times, then ultimately, when we contacted their office in Delhi, and then we understood that, oh, actually, they never gave the details, whom it is to be transferred. The money had come and went back. Two times it came to Delhi, and then again it went back. Why? Because the actual beneficiary details were not there present. So, similarly, unless and until we give the proper, follow the proper process, whoever it may be, unless and until we do that, we will not be able to the benefit will not reach the ultimate beneficiary, or even otherwise, like the importance of formal process. Like, there are so many elections which take place, and people get elected, but they cannot or they do not occupy the office until unless the formal swearing in ceremony is done. You know, somebody may get elected as the chief minister or prime minister or anything, but until and unless the swearing in oath taking ceremony is done, till that time that person does not officially accept that. So similarly, it is important that we do the other things which are prescribed, and at the same time we follow the official principles or process. Like one may say that, oh, Acha Madhavendra Puri says that, oh, bye-bye to my Sandhya Vandan, bye-bye to all other, because I am only focused only on serving Lord Sri Krishna. But then we have to consider, he is a great yati who is depending only on ayachika vritti. He is not going for his own personal needs. He is not working for that. He is depending totally on Lord Sri Krishna. But and he was ready to walk for all the way from Vrindavan to Puri just to bring chandan for Gopalji. You know, we are not, his shraddha is that, it's full drid shraddha. But our shraddha is komal shraddha at this neophyte stage. It is necessary for us to follow the rules and regulations. Like, just like when we fall sick, we need to go to the doctor and we need to get ourselves treated. We need to take the medicines. So similarly, to avoid or to mitigate, that is actually at a very low level. But to express our love and gratitude for our pitris, not just to be able to circumvent the pitri dosha or any other things, but to actually express our gratitude, then actually we will be able to receive their blessings of our forefathers, our acharyas. And so we have to follow these rules and regulations, and that too, in the scriptures it is prescribed, it is said that it has to be done yata mati yatha shakti. Means it's not that everything can be done by everyone. So depending on whatever is our capacity, we have to follow these. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, like patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prechit. So only one leaf, a little amount of water is sufficient to please Lord. But then if somebody has more capacity, it is expected that he should offer whatever he has. One should offer more. You know? So that is the principle. And for us, like means I know of personal one devotee family in Mira Road. They are initiated devotees, and every year, like during their the annual Shraddha of their of his father and mother, he organizes the entire Shraddha ceremony, invites the pujari. They do yagya also. Like yagya is the way by which actually oblations are received by Lord Vishnu, then after that he invites devotees also. And the brahmanas come, they have food and they are given the dan. And at the same time, he invites devotees in the evening. We have katha, we have kirtan, and then we also have prasad. So that is the perfect way by which, depending on whatever facilities we have, whatever is our ability, we should be able to express our gratitude to our forefathers, our acharyas. And it is a very simple process also is given. Like here it's explained that Pandavas went to the Ganges and offered water. So, whenever, in fact, each and every one of us, whenever we are going to some dham or some holy river and we take bath, then it's we could offer oblations to our forefathers, to our acharyas, and to Ganga itself. And by doing so, we actually make spiritual progress. So, thank you all very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna.